comes from Grand Lodge Concerts, presenting the Rowdy Summer Nights Tour with Leftover Salmon, Infamous String Dusters, and Kitchen Dwellers, Thursday, August 14th at McMenamin's Grand Lodge. Also presenting Keb Moe and Sean Colvin, the Teske Brothers, and more. Summer concert info at GrandLodgeConcerts.com.
Right, you're listening to X-Ray FM KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 on the FM and on the coast. Wheeler, Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. And hey, we are streaming on the internet, xray.fm, online and on demand. Call the text line. Call your mom, but call the text line, 971-220-5979. Hats off to DJ Lazy Bones. Hats off to Berkeley. Now it's time for Hello Cruel World. Thank you, friends, for joining in. I'm JBJ. We got a great show today. Previewing the annual Pickathon Festival happening next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Happy Valley, Oregon. I'll be playing you tracks from artists that are headlining the festival, artists that are playing the festival. And speaking of headliners, we got an interview today with Eric D. Johnson of Fruit Bats. So glad you tuned in. We're starting things off with the headliner. His name is on the biggest font on the poster, Taj Mahal, on this track that I'm playing you. He's joined by Raya Cooter, and they're covering Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, packing up, getting ready to go. Hey, radio's yours.
My letter, can't read my mind.
Angela Autumn, Old Time Lovers, here on Hello Cruel World, playing a bunch of artists that are playing Pickathon next week, Pickathon Local Music Festival. Before Angela Autumn, you heard from Lily Seabird, Harmonia, from her latest record. Before that, Rosalie, On Tonight, from her latest record, came out last year. It was one of my favorites of the year. We began with Taj Mahal on this track, recording with Rye Cooter, playing a cover written by Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, packing up, getting ready to go. Thank you for tuning in today. Up next, an interview with Fruit Bat's lead frontman, Eric D. Johnson. I thought it'd be fun to play my jumping in point. My first Fruit Bat's record was released in 2005. I think it was called Sunken Bones, and this was my favorite track off of it, Silent Life. You're listening to X-Ray FM.
There's a light beyond the sticks and stones, past the piles of broken bones. It could melt a frozen heart if it needs to be so. It's the place to cut the weeds and wires and dodge the thorns and quills. It's the place divide where the river stands still.
Eric D. Johnson, welcome to Hello Cruel World.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Where are you calling from and what are you in the middle of before you got on the phone?
I am calling from my house and I was in the middle of, I'm recording a little bit of music for a yet to be announced project, and it's very loud outside my window with leaf blowers and chainsaws, but it's actually not right now. They got quiet for this interview, so here I am.
Nice, and I alerted the people in the house, in my house here, in my little setup as well, that to please be quiet. And I hope the people outside the house will obey as well. We live on a pretty busy street, so. Well, actually, you spent time here. So, like, I live in Kenton. I don't know if you know Denver Avenue, but
I know Kenton. Yeah, I was always a Southeast. I lived in Kenton for 10 years, but always in Southeast somehow. Like that was just like I never lived on the North Side, but.
Well, North Side rules. You know,
I love the North Side. Yeah, no shade on the North Side. I just kept stumbling my way into cute little Southeast situations. So
when you come back now, I'm sure it's a range of feelings when you come back after living here. Is there any heartbreak, and was there any heartbreak involved when you left?
I have such love. Yes, there's major heartbreak. I may make my way up again at some point. I don't even know. But yeah.
So that's not outside the realm of possibilities.
Never. I spent all of my 20s in Chicago, all of my 30s in Portland, and now I'm just at the tail end of my 40s, and I've been in LA for this whole time. So I seem to just switch cities each decade of my life for some reason. So, but my Portland time was super important. So.
Oh, that's
spending
each decade in a different part of, you know, that just sounds amazing. That sounds like a great idea. You should be a life coach, because that sounds like something that everybody should be doing.
It was not planned. That was something I just sort of dawned on me as I turned 49 recently, where it's like, oh yeah, I'm coming out of my 40s and I've been here this whole time. But yeah, I miss Portland a lot. I got to Portland in like about 2006. But I talked to like a buddy of mine who's a native, and I was like, when did Portland kind of start to change? He was like, I don't know, 98, you know, like,
wow.
I don't know if that, I think it changed. I think it all is based on when you got there and what your perspective is on things and all that. So, it's in so many ways, it's just for Portland, just, it's always kind of feels good to me in some ways, even though I know it has changed, but it's there's something about it that pervades.
I can give a little perspective, because I moved here in 98.
And, okay, so there you go.
But like I was just starting to go deeper into the music scene, other than what I was seeing on like 120 Minutes, for example. So I came to Portland as a definite music nerd, but hadn't really delved into the local scene yet, hadn't really like found my inroads to the local scene yet. So the big change that I felt was, you know, post Portlandia to the city.
But, for sure.
But anybody that mentions how 98 was a changer, I totally get it from everyone I've talked to and the reading that I've done, you know, so many of those small local scenes, you know, like Satyricon, X-Ray, Specs, Club, all that stuff, that was like the very end of that era, you know, when I moved here.
Yeah, I don't think I even set foot in Portland until like 99 or something, but I wasn't spending time there regularly. I just was like touring and popping in and out. But yeah, it's still, there's cool rainy night in Portland on a quiet street, you can still tap into some kind of old school feeling. I always feel like there's sort of no one around, and yeah, there's something about it that's very romantic to me.
Yeah, I still have a fondness here. I should be jaded, but I'm not. I love it here. I'll probably end here, but we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for all the support you've given to X-Ray. That your time here kind of coincided with X-Ray, you know, coming on the air and becoming a fixture, and you know, winning Willamette Week awards and that kind of stuff. And you've supported the station through its history. And you were a part of our quarantine house concert streaming thing that we did during COVID. So anyway, I just wanted to thank you for supporting X-Ray.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. We love you. We're excited that you're coming to Pickathon in a couple weeks. I know since you've lived here a long time that you've probably played Pickathon a bunch of times. I did see you in 2019 for Bonnie Light Horseman, for sure. What I wanted to ask you about your very first Pickathon and what you remember about Pickathon.
Well, first of all, not only have I played Pickathon before, I played it. I played and was involved in one way or another and attended for, I think, 9 in a row at
wow.
one point. And even some people have jokingly referred to me as the mayor of Pickathon, which I haven't played in enough years that I'm sure my mayorship has been revoked now at this point, but maybe I'll run for re-election this year since it's been a while. But
I would love to see a good runoff between you and Ty Segall.
Yeah, Ty, like there's some other contenders for sure. I think my first Pickathon was, I don't know if I remember the year, but it was probably the late aughts, and it was sort of coincided with me moving to Portland, and I played and was immediately struck. And then there's no other festival like this where we played, we had a great time, and then I was just like, can I come back next year? And they were like, sure, which like no other. So,
wow.
We played 2 years in a row. I think Dr. Dog, the first year we played, it was Dr. Dog's second year in a row. Like you could, I don't think they do that as much anymore. And I could see why you want to have a fresh lineup, but it's such a kind of like, they break a lot of rules at that festival in a great way. And we just sort of ask. And then I just kind of kept coming back with different projects. I would occasionally host a stage there. I would do some of those like non-official shows.
Nice.
I just, I even kind of one year was, I wouldn't really say I had any sort of official curatorial pull, but I brought in a few bands with the, I was sort of involved for a little while. And it was sort of kind of some of them that stretch of like whatever those 9 years or so that I went all in a row, it was kind of like one of the most special parts of the year for me. I always refer to, this is like, I've made this reference a million times, but I'll say it again. Pickathon is like the dog park for bands, like where we're actually like, other festivals are great too. I'm not saying like, I do think Pickathon is the best, but it's not because other festivals suck. It's just because it's so head and shoulders, but it's such a festival of discovery. I think the audiences trust the curation more than other ones. It never feels algorithmic. It always feels like somebody made a choice of things. So
let me just jump in because I don't know of any other festival that is really like an exploration type of festival. Are there other ones?
Yeah, I think there's definitely other ones. I mean, there's a lot of festivals now, and for better and worse, like, and there's actually a lot of festivals that are more in that mold too, that are like a little bit smaller and a little more curated, but like, and I even like some of the big ones. We played Bonnaroo last year and I actually had a great time.
I said exploration. I actually meant discovery, but you know what I meant.
I mean, it sort of depends on the kind of discovery. Actually, like I said, I played Bonnaroo last year, and I actually enjoyed the discovery of discovering kind of like really huge pop bands and things that I thought were interesting that I had not. But you know, certain bands I wouldn't really have the chance to see necessarily at folk rock festivals and things like that. But
right.
Yeah, I think the discovery aspect of Pickathon is it really is very curated. And like I said, I don't think the audience is necessarily just being like, I don't like those four headliners or something like that, I won't go. They're more like, I've heard of two of those, I like them. I don't know all this, but I know it's going to be good because it's sort of like the old school cool record store clerk who would hip you to records or something like that, where you're like, I'm just going to go over to that record store because that person working at the record store is going to tell me about this cool thing. So
for sure, this year, especially, like, I'm, you know, looking at the lineup, I'm only familiar with about 20% of who's coming, and I'm excited about that. You know, like, what are some bands that you discovered in that 8-year run that where you were at Pickathon? Can you think of some bands that, like, you went in cold and you're like, wow, this is, like, pretty great?
I mean, there was, I feel like a lot of my highlight shows maybe were bands that I knew already, but, like, I do remember at one point seeing Cotton Jones on the Starlight stage, and it was like that, like, 1 a.m. slot or something. And yeah. I think I was staying, usually would go home because I lived in Southeast, not too far, but, like, I think I was staying, and it was like, you know, a night where I was like, I'm going to party a little bit and sleep in the woods, you know, and was, like, you know, stoned and tipsy, I'm sure, at 1 o'clock in the morning and like heard their, it's weird because I've subsequently become friends with Michael now. And like, weirdly, we were very sort of adjacent to each other in the music community. And yet I had not heard them. And that was one of those kind of like, just a sound beckoning from the mists all of a sudden. And it was that kind of one in the morning. They were like just very evocative looking band. And it was just one of the coolest, just kind of one of those like watershed musical experiences. So that's one that sticks out in my brain.
Also, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Eric D. Johnson of Fruit Bats. He and the band are coming to town in a couple weeks playing the annual Pickathon Festival located in Happy Valley, Oregon. As we've been talking, it's a festival like none other, really well thought out and well curated, truly a festival of musical discovery. We are going to take a little break and come right back with more Eric D. Johnson after this.
X-Ray FM is supported by our friends at the Sandy Hut. In operation for over 100 years, the Sandy Hut is located on Northeast 14th and Sandy Boulevard, featuring Saddle Up Sundays, hosted by the Country Co-op, spinning classic country and honky-tonk vinyl every Sunday evening. The Sandy Hut is open 7 days a week from 11:30 a.m. till 2:30 a.m., serving house cocktails, local beer, and curated bar fare.
Support for X-Ray comes from Edgefield Concerts, presenting an evening with Indigo Girls and Melissa Etheridge in concert on July 28th. Details at McMenamins Outdoor Concerts.com.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from McMenamins Historic Mission Theater in downtown Portland, hosting Alan Johannes, the founding member of the iconic 90s SoCal band 11, backed up by a full band on Thursday, July 24th. Doors at 7 p.m., show at 8. Tickets and more information available at missiontheaterpdx.com.
All right, we are back with Eric D. Johnson of Fruit Bats. As I mentioned, he is playing at Pickathon here at the very end and end of July, beginning of August. They're playing Saturday and Sunday at the festival. He is here. We've been talking about the festival, but he also has a new record coming out September 12th on Merge. It's called Baby Man. I am sorry, Eric, but like that title makes me think of like an SNL sketch. Did Hans and Franz ever like call each other Baby Man?
I think they called each other Girly Man.
Oh, okay. All right. I can picture that voice like, such a baby man.
Yeah.
And doing some research for this, listen to the singles. I'm like super excited about this sound. One of the things on this show, like I've been doing this show since 01, and it's not for everybody because I really want to champion like a stripped down sound. Like the idea of like the skeleton of a song, just a song distilled down into like guitar and voice. And I hear a lot of that in these two singles that are out now, you know, in advance of the record coming out on September 12th. My question is, did Bonnie Light Horseman influence the sound of this record in any way? Because I feel like lately the Fruit Bats records have like gone way out in terms of like sounds and production. I guess I could say the same thing for Bonnie Light Horseman, but really I feel like you guys started out, you know, as an homage to folk music and playing not only the songs that interested you all together, but also like styles as well. As a fan of your work, it looked like you were kind of hearkening back to that or changing it up in that way with that band. And now here's this record that's also championing a more of a stripped down sound than the, that was very long winded, Eric, but.
it's pretty easy. It's kind of all of a piece. It's like they inform each other, I think, in many ways. So it's not, I wouldn't really say one informs the other. And yeah, I mean, this latest record, Baby Man, is very stripped back. It was kind of like the original.
Had you planned on making something like that? Like,
well, yeah, the original idea was like going to be almost like an EP or something kind of simple. And it was maybe going to be cover songs. I didn't really know. And I just ended up going on kind of a writing tear. All of that record was sort of written and recorded in 1 week. I did it with Tom Monahan, who's done my other records. So it was like, even though it's very minimalist, it's very big sounds, you know, like it's stripped back, but it's very like maximalist from like a sonic perspective. So it was, I kind of caught, but basically, no, there was no plan. I caught myself by surprise with it. And, you know, for the Pickathon show, for example, that's going to be the full band because, you know, it's Pickathon. We want to sort of headline up.
Right.
Festival like that and have it be, but then there'll be some shows more tailored to that sound. So yeah, there really wasn't a plan. I've been just making records so long. It's like, there's no plan anymore. I just kind of go.
How does it feel to be making records for such a long time? Like, you've been doing this for a while now. Where are you at, like, with your feeling of like making music and having this be your thing?
So yeah, next year will be 25 years.
Do you ever do any looking back in that kind of way?
I did it during the pandemic when it was 20, when the 20 year anniversary came up, because it was the pandemic and we were just like, let's just do something. And I sort of did, you know, like a collected works thing. But now, no, I don't really, because I mean, I don't know, like, I'm doing well right now. I sort of want to like honor the moment, you know, yeah, but like, yeah, it is fun. It's fun. I put up like 2 days ago on Instagram, I found some super old picture, you know, like from the early 2000s. It's like fun to do. Sometimes it freaks people out, but it's like, it's a cliche, but I'm definitely like trying to focus on what's happening right now.
When you go to write, are your albums, you see them as a collection of songs, or do they morph into something that's like a piece?
They're definitely a piece, but they're all like kind of related, especially the last few, they're all kind of related to each other. And I'm like less afraid to sort of sing about the same thing again twice, you know, like I'm like, oh, I told that story before, maybe I'm going to retell it from a different perspective or something like that. I certainly have preoccupations, like things I'm sort of interested in talking about, but that sort of morphs. But yeah, each album is definitely a movie.
Oh, that's awesome. I did hear the song about your dog, and I wanted to say I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, no, he had a good run. He was 15, and he was taken by old age, you know. But and I always wanted to write a song about a dog, and I was like, now's the time.
We should play that right now.
Sure.
Here is Creature from the Wild from Eric D. Johnson's new record, Baby Man. Actually, Fruit Bats. New record, Baby Man.
Just a pup running round down on the streets of Mexico. Only rain to fill your cup, stars for a roof and a stone for a pillow. Then you you came to us, a creature from the wild. But you behaved just like a perfect child, and you saved us for a while. Living in a garbage bin behind the motor inn, with a thorn in your paw, the sweetest heart with a worm inside of it. And you came to us and started a new life, and you looked at us. Everything was fine, and you saved us for a while.
Creature from the Wild, from the upcoming Fruit Bats record, Baby Man, September 12th on Merge Records. I know you're playing Pickathon here in a week or so. Do you, and I know you're going on a solo tour in the fall. I don't see any dates for that, but do you anticipate coming back and doing like a solo show next year?
In Portland?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
I TBD. Feel...
Great. Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for the conversation. So excited that you're coming back to Portland, and so excited that you're coming armed with new songs from this record, Baby Man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'm always stoked to come to Portland.
And thanks again for your support of X-Ray FM.
Absolutely. Always.
I am on my knees, my hands sink deep into the earth. I am screaming please as I move through the dirt. My heart is heavier than any rock or any stone I could ever hold. And all I can do is tap my hands against my chest, so I can be sure, am I alive, am I guess. And I begin to pray, yeah, I will plead and I will beg that I am not alone. I cry as the light slips away from my gaze, floating like white, can I see through the haze? My heart yet yearns and it burns like a flame for all of my days.
X-Ray FM, hello cruel world, Glitter Fox, Married to the Ground. They will be at Pigathon next week. Before that, Cotton Jones, they will not be at Pigathon next week. But they played a song called Gotta Cheer Up, and the record's called Paranoid Cocoon. Thanks to Pigathon, Merge Records, and Eric's management for helping to get that interview going and completed. And thanks to Eric for doing it. Again, you can catch Fruit Bats next Saturday and Sunday at the Pigathon Music Festival. I'm going to try and fit in two more songs with my time. First up, Haley Hendricks. Also, both these bands' songs I'm going to fit in. Bands are also playing at Pigathon next week. This is all part of the Pigathon preview here on Hello Cruel World. Haley Hendricks' title track from last year's record, Seed of a Seed. That's it for this week's Hello Cruel World. Next week, I hope to leave you something pre-recorded because I will be at the festival. And one of my favorite things of last year's festival was meeting listeners. So I will be introducing bands at some stage or other during the course of the festival. If you hear me mention X-Ray FM or something, please come up. I would love to meet you. If you listen to the show, even if you don't listen to the show, it'd be so nice to meet you. Again, that was one of my most favorite things about the festival last year is meeting X-Ray fans, X-Ray listeners, and fans of this show. We're closing with Jenny Don't and the Spurs. I love her. So glad that we're going to get to see her next week at the Pickathon Festival. Happy Valley, Oregon, next Thursday through Sunday. The song's the opening track from last year's record. This is called Flying High.